Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports, joined today as always by my colleague and co-host Lisa Roman, NWSL analyst and broadcaster. On today's episode, we've got a massive trade news and update episode for the 2021 offseason. Before we get into everything that is happening, a quick reminder to follow us on Twitter at Attacking Third. You can vote this week for our Attacking Third Awards, Best Assist, Best Skill, Best Save, and Best Goal. You can also head on over to our YouTube page and hit subscribe to never miss a new video interview or whenever we go live. Plus, you can catch great extended NWSL highlights over at youtube.com/attackingthird. Lisa, it's a massive episode today. The offseason is in full swing. How are you feeling today?
I'm ready to dive into it and kind of dissect it a little bit with you because this is the first time that you and I have really had a chance to sit down and go through all of the moves that have happened and all of the trades and get your thoughts on it. I know we've talked briefly about certain things when we see the news break, but I'm actually really pumped to hear everything that you have to say about all these trades because, man, teams have been busy throughout this trade window and for good reason too, ahead of the drafts. I mean, I like this. Get it all out of the way, make the draft coverage a little bit easier, maybe a little more boring, but we'll get into draft coverage later. We're sticking with the trades today and everything that has happened. How are you feeling about all of the movement this offseason so far?
Well, I love it. This is, you know, and not to make a holiday pun, but it truly is the most wonderful time of the year. And you know, I'm hyped for it. I'm battling something. I'm a little bit congested. So thank you everybody for getting through it with me. But I love this time of year. I mean, there's always a lot of excitement. There's always honestly within these windows, there's always room to sort of analyze and maybe critique these things as well, because sometimes player movement hasn't always been met with like a warm reception. And I think this is maybe the first time in a long time where maybe people are taking a look at some of those things in terms of like whether or not some of these moves were requested or otherwise. So I think that's a fun, interesting component, an angle that we're seeing a lot more in this offseason than we have in off seasons prior. So I'm excited to get into all of it with you because it's a chance for both of us to actually react to these things versus just sort of quick and in real time via our Twitters or any written work that I do over on CBSSports.com. But for now, I think with all of these moves, a really good place to jump off and start is to keep our listeners informed with the draft coverage that's coming up, because a lot of these moves that have been taking place, Lisa, have sort of come with this component of an asset in terms of the trade. Like the trades have been, the drafts have been utilized as assets in this one. So for draft coverage, the 2022 expansion draft on Thursday, December 16th, 7 p.m. on CBS Sports HQ, CBS Sports Network, and Paramount Plus. Then you can also catch the 2022 NWSL draft on Saturday, December 18th at 2 p.m. CBS Sports HQ, CBS Sports Network, and Paramount Plus. These are two back-to-back events, only one day between them, a quick breather. And us here at Attacking Third, we're going to have all of the recaps of each of those events. We're going to have previews for you all. We've got some good stuff in the pipeline for
we got some fun guests coming on to preview these drafts for everyone, get some insider knowledge that we can have.
The other thing that's been happening too, right, Lisa, is that we've been content planning. Like the content has nonstop in terms of the planning. And so we're excited for it. So I know there's maybe that little bit of a perspective that's like, all these moves are happening, and it's including trade protection and or draft protection and stuff like that. Like, what are these events actually going to look like? They're still kicking off. They're still going to be available to view on CBS Sports HQ, CBS Sports Network, and Paramount Plus. So check them out when you get the chance. But I think we got to just like hop right into things, Lisa. Let's just we're so excited. Let's just finally get into this. You know, we're recording this on a Tuesday, right around noon. The trade deadline for the league actually closed last Friday on December the 2nd. But the fact is a lot of those trades are just now being made public and released. So the deadline is for actual trade talk, and then the trades have to be reported to the league, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be reported to the public. So because of that, we've been finding out about trades throughout the duration of the week, the days after the trade deadline had closed. So big points are that the hot commodity is draft protection, right? Roster protection. And that's what a big component that teams have been trading for. So from San Diego, Wave FC, and Angel City FC, these are the two expansion teams that are coming into the fold for 2022. And the hot commodity is roster protection. And it's been looking, another new thing that's been happening, Lisa, is that it's been coming in different forms. So we saw for the very first time in last year's expansion draft, a trade take place between Chicago Red Stars and Racing Louisville FC. And that was kind of the first time that roster protection was utilized as an asset in a trade between two teams. So now here we are in 2022, and we're starting to see that fly around a lot, but it's also starting to take different forms. So it's not just full roster protection. We've got Washington Spirit, who made a trade with Angel City for allocated player protection, and Owl Rain also make a trade with Angel City for just forward, like their unprotected forward list protection. It's got a lot of fun verbiage in it, but in terms of actual how it breaks down, San Diego's got a number of trades in the works. So the Washington Spirit, Kansas City, Chicago Red Stars have protection from San Diego. Protection from Angel City, Chicago Red Stars, Kansas City, Racing Louisville, and OL Reign has the forwards who are protected, and Washington Spirit has allocated player protection. So within some of this stuff, Lisa, I want to get your reactions to this. How has it been? Because I know how it's been for me, having to sort of keep track of it and keep our tracker going. And updated over at .com. But in terms of you taking a look at this as my producer, as a producer here for Attacking Third, has it been just sort of like chaotic, like just kind of nailing things down in terms of all of these different protection rights going on?
The chaotic is the best word for it, because you really have to read all of the fine print when these trades are announced. It's not just like we are trading player X for a certain amount of money or allocation money. And teams are really getting smart, I'm going to say, finding the loopholes in these trades that they can do. And I think that is kind of telling of how this league is going and how this season is going, is that there's not really this like big brother watchful eye over everything that's happening. It's all happening and then being told to the league and being told to the public. And as the public, I guess, as media for us, we're just having to accept all of this that's happening. It's not really like, what are the trade rules here? Because honestly, the trade rules are a little ambiguous. And it's important to note, you touched on that it's not just players or draft protection, but partial protection. Heading into these drafts, teams have to submit a list of protected players and unprotected players, and of their allocated players, meaning that their contracts are paid for by U.S. Soccer, they can only protect one of those players on their team. So to have a team like Washington Spirit say to an expansion side, you cannot draft any of our allocated players, like that's a pretty smart move by Washington Spirit. Now they don't have to worry about losing those players in this expansion draft, and the expansion teams get a little bit something in return. I think that being two expansion sides coming into this league for next year, it made the chips a little higher there. And what was going on and what protection could be saved and taken and what trades could be made and not made. It made it a little bit spicier. And I like that, honestly. And I'm not at all concerned that the expansion draft is going to be boring by any means, because there are still a lot of teams that aren't protected by either of these expansion sides, and a lot still of moving parts that will be happening. But I think Chicago is really off the table for the expansion draft right now, because they're protected from both San Diego and Angel City, as well as Kansas City, because they are a new team coming into this. So interesting how we move forward from this, but it's been a lot of just digesting, reading your trackers on CBSSports.com, because it's been really helpful for me creating our show rundowns today and just trying to absorb everything that's been happening, frankly.
And it's not just, you know, within these moves, we're actually going to go through a rundown of what we think are biggest losers and biggest winners of these trade windows. But even within all of these trades, within, you know, players being moved into different areas for things like roster protection or partial protection, there's also been just sort of the regular, like, end of business kind of move. So there have been teams announcing, like, hey, we've extended player X, Y, or Z to a contract mm-hmm. through 2023 or 2024. Or there have even been, you know, those other end of year business kind of things where it's like, hey, we're actually not, you know, we're not picking up the option on this player, or we're not picking up the option mm-hmm. on that contract of that other player. So all of these other things have been happening in between them. And also, you know, the ongoing search for certain head coaching positions, which we're going to get into later on. But in terms of
players going on loans. Overseas.
Yeah, there's a few players already have announced going to Australia, right? Lynn Williams, a big one in that one.
Which we've seen a lot in the past, because yeah. Australia's season happens during the NWSL offseason. However, the 2021 season for the NWSL was, what, 10 months or something ridiculously long, with the Olympics thrown in there for players like Lynn Williams, who did travel to Tokyo, and now to be quickly jumping back on the soccer ship to head over to Australia and continue to play. I was actually expecting to see more players take breaks during this time, because they did just come off of such a long season. But hey, Lynn Williams, she wants to get it, rise and shine for her, heading over to Australia to keep playing. Good for her.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's maybe going to be less, right, that mm-hmm. we've seen before in the past, just because of the really long season that just took place. So I think for now, it's like Lynn Williams from the Courage is over in Australia League, and it's Elizabeth Eddy and Kayla mm-hmm. Sharples, I think, from Gotham and Chicago respectively. But before, it used to be just like a wave of players,
everyone
heading on over to Australia. But I just think with the timing of things, it's just maybe not as convenient before in the past. And I think even for players like Eddie and Sharples, their loan is through like March 2022, where mm-hmm. someone like Lynn Williams is only going to be through like January 2022. So there's been some.
By the time she unpacks, she'll be coming back over.
Yeah, there's been some interesting moves there too as well. But you know, maybe for us and our listeners here, let's take a look at what we thought were some of the biggest trades, and then we'll take a quick break, and then we'll go into winners and losers. So the big ones, the big bullet points, I think of this last week or so. Things really got kicked off between Chicago with Chicago and Angel City. These are two teams that I think sort of set in motion kind of the chaos. I initially gave a bit of breaking news saying that Sarah Gordon was rumored to head on over to Angel City. And then eventually that came to light with a massive release from Chicago saying that they had made a number of trades with both Angel City, San Diego FC, and OL Reign. But the biggest component out of that was that Chicago did trade Sarah Gordon and Julie Ertz and an international spot to Angel City in exchange for roster protection.
That was definitely the biggest trade to come out of last week for sure. And it was really the first time we saw movement from Chicago after falling short in the NWSL championship, head coach Rory Daames resigning, and then the reports coming out about Daames. Now Chicago in the news for this trade cycle and losing two of their biggest players. I mean, Julie Ertz, she did not play in this 2021 season due to injury, but a standout number six defensive midi for Chicago for years. She had been with the club since she was drafted with Chicago. And then Sarah Gordon, she became Iron Woman for Chicago and really solidified her spot in the center back and in the back line for the Red Stars, being traded away. It was the first trade that I saw that was like, what is happening at Chicago? They're just dismantling everything. And that's why it's the top of our biggest trade list right now, Chicago and Angel City. I mean, Angel City winning, completely winning in this trade right there. Another big trade that we saw happen between Kansas City and North Carolina Courage, which was huge for Kansas City Current. They acquired Sam Mewis, midfielder from North Carolina Courage. And in that trade, the Current sent Kiki Pickett, first round and a first round draft pick in the 2022 NWSL draft over to North Carolina Courage. But for Kansas City, getting Sam Mewis as that midfielder, playmaker, creative mind that the Current needs. I know we touched on this in an earlier episode, but that was really just huge for Kansas City. They now have big players in the front line with Kristen Hamilton, even Haley May slots in there occasionally. They have 80 French in goal, so nothing's getting through that brick wall. And now to really connect all the pieces for Kansas City, Sam Mewis in the midfield. That was another huge trade that we saw unfold over the last week or so.
Yeah, absolutely big pickup for Kansas City. And then another big pickup, I think, for San Diego, after sort of kind of picking up a couple players themselves. They made that first signing with Abby Dahlkemper as part of a three-way trade to kind of kick things off, getting their first player on the roster, and then making extra trades with Spira and Chicago to sort of start to flesh things out. But a really big, big piece that they got to really solidify things on the pitch for themselves was when they made a trade with New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. Gotham traded goalkeeper Kalen Sheridan to San Diego Wave FC in exchange for draft protection and allocation money from San Diego Wave. It's a huge move for this team. Kalen Sheridan has been touted really over the last more recent years or so as one of the top goalkeeping talents in NWSL, coming off of an Olympic gold medal with Canada. And it's a huge, huge get for San Diego for sure.
It says so much about what San Diego is trying to build with Abby Dahlkemper and now Kalen Sheridan. And we spoke with Casey Stoney, head coach for San Diego Wave FC, and she said that her team wanted to be built around a foundation of defense, and she wanted it to be really hard to score on her San Diego Wave team. Abby Dahlkemper, now Kalen Sheridan. Yes, that makes a lot of sense. Chronologically here, after Kalen Sheridan left Gotham FC, there was moments, hours, day, half a day of fans, me, you, media being like, what is Gotham going to do without Kalen Sheridan? They have Didi Haricic, who is a phenomenal goalkeeper, but you can't just have one phenomenal goalkeeper. What's going to happen here? Where are the moving pieces? And before long, it was reported that Gotham FC was in a trade with Orlando Pride. Gotham acquired Ali Krieger, defender and goalkeeper Ashlyn Harris from Orlando Pride in exchange for a first-round pick in the 2022 NWSL draft, a 2023 NWSL draft natural third-round pick, and $50,000 in allocation money from Gotham. So a huge trade between Orlando Pride and Gotham FC with two big former U.S. Women's National Team stars, Krieger and Harris, making their way up the East Coast north to New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. This was another huge, huge trade that we saw. I think Chicago Red Stars trade was probably one of the biggest that shocked me. And then this second one, I heard some rumors and rumblings about it being reported from you, Sandra, and from other people on Twitter. And then once this trade actually went through and we saw Sloan, the little baby between Allie and Ashlyn, wearing her Gotham shirt, it became official. So now Gotham has a new goalkeeper in Ashlyn Harris and new defender in Ali Krieger. This was a big trade that happened.
I did love that announcement. It was like a family, like they announced a family, like they made a trade for the whole family, both Krieger Harris and their daughter, baby Sloan. It was adorable. If people haven't seen the social media on that, go check it out. But I'm with you. I mean, and like you said, the reporting around this window right now has sort of, you know, been adjacent to all of these trades being made public and being made announced. The initial reporting from Megalina Hinn at The Athletic about that rumor, which eventually came to life. And then we're going to close it out with this one because it's still technically a rumor, nothing official yet, but another bit of source reporting from Lena Hinn via The Athletic is that San Diego Wave FC are in the early stages of getting together the paperwork, question mark, with Orlando Pride, reportedly to sign forward Alex Morgan as the next offensive piece for that team. So not a lot of details there because nothing official made. There hasn't been anything, you know, announced in terms of what that would mean for Orlando in terms of what they could possibly be receiving, right, on that end of things. But if this comes to fruition, Lisa, this would be the third time that Alex Morgan finds herself on an inaugural team in NWSL. And that's like massive. That is like history making type of stuff. So we will absolutely keep our eyes on that one for sure. But we had to close it out with some of the biggest points in with that one.
And Alex Morgan potentially going to San Diego. She's not the same player she was when she went to Orlando. She's evolved a little bit. She's a little bit older. She now has a family that is ever growing that she needs to prioritize and take care of. And I think this is really interesting and a really fun move. Of course, it is just reported, as you said, Sandra. It's been reported that when the league's trade window reopens on December 17th, that's when we could find out more information about this. Again, we're recording this episode right now, Tuesday around noon, December 7th. So things could happen. But the 17th, when the trade window reopens, that is after the expansion draft and after that happens. So we'll see. We'll see what happens in all these moving pieces. But those were some of the biggest trades that we saw happening in this trade window for the NWSL.
We're going to get into who we thought were the winners and the losers, though, Lisa. And that's going to be the fun part of this episode. We wanted to hit everybody with the quick, big bullet points of some of the bigger moves that took place in between all of the moves and all of the signings and all the extensions that occurred during this current trade window. But when we come back after this break, Lisa and I are going to break down who we thought are the winners and losers of this current trade window. And we'll be back right after this.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Lisa, let's get into it. Winners and losers of the trade windows. Let's get to the winners, right? Because that's where you're allowed to be, you know, polite and friendly and saying, like, it's very easy to talk about winners, right? It's a little more complex when you're talking about who is on the losing side of some of these trades. But
we get more Rotten Tomatoes thrown at us when we talk about the losers. But hey, it is what it is.
That's the job, right? Someone's got to do it and we're here to do it. Let's talk a little bit about who we thought, or maybe the winners in this one. We're going with the two expansion sides to start. We're going to give three for each category here. And in terms of the winners, we're looking at San Diego Wave FC and Angel City FC making big moves during this window to try to start fleshing out their roster early. But we're also going to include Kansas City, who is, you know, one of the two 2021 expansion sides, making that big move for getting Sam Mewis. And I think, you know, Lisa, you already touched on this a little bit in the top portion of this episode. But getting somebody like a Sam Mewis in the pitch is huge for that team to go alongside with some of the moves that they made during their second half of their 2021 season, where this franchise was clearly looking ahead a little bit to 2022 and said, hey, 2021 didn't shake out in terms of results that we wanted on the pitch, but that doesn't mean that we're going to stop looking ahead and building towards a very bright future in Kansas City. So along with making those midseason moves for somebody like a Haley Mace, a Kristen Hamilton, and Adriana French, they went out and they got probably one of the top three defenders in the United States right now in Sam Mewis. So we're going with San Diego Wave, Angel City, making all of the moves that they have made, and also Kansas City as the winners in this one.
I think those are pretty nice winners. I know you just dove in a little bit on Kansas City, and we have to touch on the expansion sides, because doing all of these trades ahead of the draft is such a smart move for them, because then they can already establish kind of the foundation of their team and what they want. And they can maybe give a little bit in exchange to some of these teams, but that's okay, because I think player and personnel that San Diego and Angel City are acquiring are the biggest things they can get. I honestly think if I had to pick one winner out of these three winners that we have, it would be San Diego, because they made so many moves during this trade window. They have Kalen Sheridan in goal. They potentially have Alex Morgan up top as a forward. They have Keegan McGrady, defender from Washington Spirit. They have Katie Johnson and Mackenzie Doniak from Chicago Red Stars, who, no, they're not technically superstars, Johnson and Doniak, but they are big-time players for Chicago that played in a championship, in an NWSL championship. So they have that experience. Then coming to an expansion side, and a lot of these players are California natives that they have. I mean, Abby Dahlkemper, Keegan McGrady also is. So I think that's really good to see that they're building that foundation on players that want to be there, despite it being an expansion side that doesn't notoriously do that well in the first time in a league in the first year. They're home and they're where they want to be. And hey, it's in San Diego. It's by the beach. It doesn't get much better than that. So I would give my crown for our top three winners, the real crown, to San Diego and how much movement they did in this trade window to prepare themselves for the expansion draft next week.
I'm with you on that. I think if we're picking of the three, I think you got to look at San Diego and take a look at who they're bringing in and why. They've got a number of players on here who can be starters immediately and others who can be solid role players, which is important in NWSL. And they've got a huge piece for their future in Kelsey Turnbow, who's also a Cali native, you know, coming out of Santa Clara, coming off of an NCAA championship, coming off of another appearance in a playoff run in the College Cup. Huge, huge, huge piece that they picked up from Chicago. I think anybody who's been paying attention to the college game over the last 2 years specifically is looking at Turnbow and saying that is going to be a player who is going to have a bright future, in the league. So getting a chance to sort of be that player from the ground up, right, and kind of grow up with a franchise, I think is very, very promising. So I think if you're San Diego, you're sitting ahead of your expansion draft, already kind of looking kind of pretty with a lot of players, already part of your roster that you're excited to build along with. And I think that's also kind of a different like angle that we need to like bring up and like include within this is that, yeah, a lot of those players have like California roots, right? Who are excited to be playing, back in their home state. Katie Johnson in her, departing message to, via the Red Stars release sort of said that it was always a dream of hers to be able to play professionally in front of family and friends. And players like Johnson, players like, Doniak, players like, Alex Morgan, Tegan McGrady, who are gonna, these Cali kids who are gonna get the chance to return home. And that angle specifically in that Chicago trade, where this was a franchise that was trying to get players back home, that they were trying to take into consideration that players wanted the opportunity to get back to where they're from and sort of trying to find a mutual way to make that beneficial for both sides. So players heading over to San Diego in return for some roster protection was ultimately the deal for teams like Chicago Red Stars or Washington Spirit. So I'm in agreement with you. I think of the three, you got to look at San Diego and say that they're coming out pretty much the top dog in this one. And I'm excited to see how they tackle the rest of their expansion draft. But we got to get into some losers now, Lisa. We got to get into some losers. And we got three teams that we're taking a look at and saying, what's going on here? But in terms of what happened during this trade window or what didn't happen during this trade window is what we were looking at for this section. And we're looking at Chicago Red Stars. We're looking at Orlando Pride. And we're looking at Racing Louisville FC. Obviously, you're starting with Chicago there. Ton of players, right? You're taking into consideration how their offseason began, right? There's all of those angles that are coming in as well. The resignation in the middle of the night from their longtime head coach, the reports and allegations of abusive environments, and then all of a sudden the trade windows open and a massive release from the Red Stars talking about that they traded, you know, 6 to 7 players or so over 3 different clubs with San Diego, Angel City, and O.L. Reign. Lost Sarah Gordon, Julie Ertz, Mackenzie Doniak, Katie Johnson, Kelsey Turnbow, who was their 2021 NWSL draft pick, sort of pegged as the future of that team, never even got a chance to make her arrival to the Red Stars, and then traded away, all these pieces traded away to Angel City and San Diego FC for actual roster protection in the upcoming expansion drafts. They also lost a midfield piece in Nikki Stanton, who again was another one of these players wanted to move on to be closer to home, is going to be out with O.L. Reign in Tacoma, Washington now. So a ton of players lost in the mix to sort of kick off this this trade window. And I think if you're looking at expansion drafts, right, you're looking at that, and I think people's initial reactions were like, what, who are you protecting? Like, if you're getting all of these players, like, how does that, what does that look like? What does that even mean? You know, if you're losing all of these players. So it's tough. They're at the top of the list for us, right, Lisa?
Oh, they have to be. And even when we talked about our winners of this trade window, we talked about San Diego and Angel City. And you have to ask yourself, where did they get all of these players from? And it happens to be Chicago. And in exchange, Chicago really didn't get anything. I think when you look at the list of players that Chicago lost, even just big ones or big names, there's maybe 6 or 7 huge names, 6 huge names that Chicago lost. And in exchange, they got protection from the expansion draft. So, yeah, which would have been 2 drafts per one per each expansion side. So they gave away 6 players, traded away 6 players in protection of 2. Very interesting. I don't know what's happening there at Chicago, but I bet they have a plan. I hope they have a plan, Chicago, because I don't really understand. They have to be the biggest losers of this trade window. And they got draft protection. Okay, so Thursday next week looks a little lighter for them, but then they still have to worry about the next trade window that happens and everything else that comes with it. Maybe it's just getting through that expansion draft, and they really just wanted to kind of sit at home that day, drink their tea, relax, and not be too involved in the expansion draft. Well, very interesting. Another team on our list here, Orlando Pride. They just lost some really big players. And for a team in Orlando Pride that has a little bit of coaching turnover, a little bit of front office ownership turnover happening at this club, it almost looks as if it will for sure be a rebuilding year. When we did our 2022 power rankings, Orlando was at the bottom of our list. And after all of these trades happened, losing Ashlyn Harris, star goalkeeper for the Pride, now going to Gotham. Allie Krieger, very solid defender, going to Gotham. Alex Morgan, potentially rumored to go to San Diego. And Jody Taylor, international striker who came into Orlando, had very fantastic 2021 season, I think, heading over to San Diego. They've lost a lot of their big players. So they still have Marta. Let's not forget. We can't lose track of that. But really, Orlando Pride, they had this veteran foundation with Krieger, Harris, Morgan, Marta. And now to kind of lose three sides of that square is rough for Orlando, and they will need to rebuild. And maybe looking at some of the players they have, it's a little bit of a younger squad who didn't have the best 2021 season. It's a big learning curve. It's a big learning curve for Orlando Pride right there. So that's another reason why they made it onto this list. And then last one, Racing Louisville, Sandra. We said it was due to the trades that had happened or that they did, or rather the lack thereof. I'm disappointed that Racing Louisville didn't take advantage of this trade window to acquire some players, establish themselves a little bit in this league as powerhouse top dogs, which is, this was their chance to do it. Show their big guns, show what they want, show how they want to build their club. So I like to add them to this loser list.
I don't think that's unfair at all. Honestly, I think if you're a Racing Louisville fan, you're maybe wondering where your team's place is in
you're
all
like
of this.
Kid last picked for dodgeball on the playground. You're like, hello, oh where are my trades? Like that's how I would feel if I'm a Racing
that's
Louisville
so
fan right now.
No, but that's a great metaphor to use for this one. I mean, because even when we're looking at these three teams, right? Three teams that we think are losing, that were the losers of this trade window. For Chicago Red Stars and Orlando Pride, there are still things that you can point out and say, well, maybe this started off as a loss. They started off as losers, but they're starting to pick up wins after this trade window has closed. So you've got Chicago Red Stars after the trade window closes and makes the announcement that they extended, they have contract extensions to United States women's national team players. So Taylor Davidson, Mallory Pugh, Casey Krueger, Alyssa Nair are all signed on club specific contracts for the Chicago Red Stars. So no longer allocated contracts with U.S. soccer through 2023. And for Alyssa Nair, there's an option for 2024. And for Orlando Pride, they just made the announcement of their head coach. So that vacancy is no longer open. They made the announcement of former UCLA head coach Amanda Cromwell. She's going to be taking over the reins of Orlando Pride. It was something that was rumored initially via Equalizer, Jip Kasuf, and then it came to fruition. And within that, talking about how she came up as an initial investor with Angel City. She had to disinvest. They made that announcement as well. So she is locked in for Orlando Pride. And within that announcement, said she's very excited to get in on the ground and start helping them rebuild, and is very excited to get back into the Central Florida area because she is someone who had ties in the Florida collegiate program for a very, very long time as well. Over 20 years experience in the college level game. And now she's, I guess, making her arrival back to the big things and the coaching level. So someone who also played as a former player in the WUSA, the very first women's pro soccer league in the United States. So I'm sure for Orlando Pride fans, there's maybe that mix of, wow, you know, and even Chicago, there was that sort of feeling of, for these two teams, this is definitely an end of an era. There's a closing that's happening here. And what comes next? Both of these teams are possibly going to have a rebuild. So within that comes these, I guess, maybe those silver linings, right? Out of the big losses, out of the big loser moves, right? They're taking, maybe they're starting to come around with, okay, now that that happened, here's our wins. So you've got Orlando Pride with their big head coaching hire, and you've got Chicago Red Stars saying, hey, here are those players that everyone was talking about. Who are you even protecting? It's these, those are four big players to be building around. And then, but I think, I guess if we're hanging a hat, right, Lisa, if we're giving a crown to San Diego, who are we giving the paper bag to? Is it going to be Racing Louisville? There's just nothing there. No coaching rumors coming out.
It's been silent. It's just been silent from the purple that we haven't heard anything. And maybe I'm going to be a little bit of an optimist here. Snake in the grass. They've got their eye on something and they're about to pounce, or who knows, maybe in the college draft or the expansion draft, they do have protection a little bit in that expansion draft. So maybe that's really what they were going for, because when you look at the other trades that did happen, teams were trading for protection in the expansion draft. And Racing Louisville has that, at least from Angel City. So maybe that's how they wanted to go from there. And they were like, okay, just one team, we can handle San Diego. Yeah, I think we have to kind of give them the paper bag in this sense. Unfortunately, I wanted to see more from Racing Louisville, and we just didn't. I'm disappointed.
We'll see what happens. You know, we love coming back on this podcast and talking about how we were wrong and then getting to talk about some new news and everything like that. But we're giving the crown to San Diego and the paper bag to racing. Let's move forward a little bit, maybe close things out. I touched a little bit on it with Amanda Cromwell and Orlando Pride, but that was really another big angle heading into this offseason, right? Alongside the trade window, what can happen in a year that's going to have a double expansion draft and then an immediate NWSL draft following that event. It was the fact that there were a ton of head coaching vacancies in the league. And it started out in the offseason with about, I think it was 5 to 7 different coaching positions that were open, but slowly but surely we're starting to see those filled out. So we saw North Carolina Courage name Sean Nahas, the head coach over there, Orlando Pride announcing Amanda Cromwell. Even in the 21 season, late with Scott Parkinson, who came on for Freya Kuhm in light of her departure to Angel City. They made that announcement with him going to be at the head coaching position for the remainder of 2021, but through 2022 as well. Ryan Wilkinson was announced as Portland Thorns FC coach, kind of right really at the start of this offseason getting kicked off. But that doesn't mean that there's still not vacancies, right, Lisa? There's still a number of them that got to be filled.
There really are. I mean, less than maybe a few months ago, but Washington Spirit, they had Chris Ward stepping in throughout this 2021 season, and he actually won the championship with them, but no word has been made yet at Washington Spirit if he will be there. We know Chicago Red Stars, their coach resigned in the middle of the night, and they're looking to rebuild a little bit from the inside out, and they're in their coaching position. Maybe that's why they traded all of their players away. I don't know there. Racing Louisville, they had an interim head coach who was the youth coach there at Louisville, who has already said, and the club has said, that he will not be returning, Mario Sanchez, next year. So Racing Louisville is still searching for a coach. Kansas City said that Hugh Williams was going to step into the front office. He was the coach for 2021 season. So the current looking for a head coach, a lot of those vacancies are still there. I mean, I think Washington Spirit looks pretty promising with Chris Ward and what they have. They still have a little bit of rebuilding to do within that club. And after everything that happened this year between their owners and the fights happening there about the money in the club and who owns it, who has rights. But honestly, I think Kansas City is probably one of the most promising teams that if I'm a young coach, I want to go to. It's a new club in the league, in the NWSL. They already have a season under their belt. They have a little taste. They have the new rebrand that came in the very last game that Kansas City played in 2021. They have those star players we talked about, AD French, Kristen Hamilton. They acquired Sam Uys. Honestly, for me, Kansas City looks like the best bet if I'm a coach as to where I want to head to. But still, these teams are all searching for head coaches. And with the drafts right around the corner, it's interesting. It's interesting how many vacancies there still are.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, the year's not over, so we'll see what happens. But it's just a little curious, right? Considering that there is such a huge week coming up for all of the league next week with two big events in the expansion draft and the NWSL draft. That's typically events that you want to have your head coach in place alongside your other front office admins who help make those decisions. So your head coach, your sporting director, your GM, however your front office trio sort of looks when you're making these big kind of personnel and roster decisions. So Spirit, Red Stars, Racing, Current, still in the process of kind of nailing that down and seeing who's going to be that head figure to help sort of navigate through those things. We'll see if these announcements even get made prior to those events, because again, it's literally next week. We have no idea. But you know, I'm with you.
Isn't that just how the league works? Just like a little last minute.
We're just rolling with the punches as well. We're just here to try to make sense of it all, Lee. So that's what's happening on Attacking Third with this one. And then, you know, above all else, and we're going to have more on this too in the upcoming weeks, there are still CBA negotiations that are ongoing for the Players Association and the league. Marla Messing is still technically interim CEO and an ongoing search for the NWSL commissioner is still in play. There's also that stuff happening in the front office side of things. And we'll hopefully have more updates for these vacancies that are still in place. But for now, I think we touched on it all. Lisa, at least I hope we did. I hope we kept our listeners informed. What do you think?
I sure hope so. If we didn't and you still have questions, head on over to Apple Podcasts, leave Attacking Third a 5-star review with questions. We'll answer them. We'll get to them. It's been a lot of moving parts over the last few weeks in the offseason for the NWSL. We're trying to stay up to date on everything that we have for you. As more news comes out, more breaking news, check back on Twitter at Attacking Third. Come back to our YouTube page. We have it all covered for you, and we'll be keeping you updated. And with all of our draft coverage coming up, right, Sandra?
I love it. I'm excited for it. Listen, if you want to follow along with everything, this is how you do it. Thursday, December 16th is the 2022 expansion draft. You can find that on CBS Sports HQ, CBS Sports Network, and Paramount Plus at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. The 2022 NWSL draft will be taking place on Saturday, December 18th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on CBS Sports HQ, CBS Sports Network, and Paramount Plus. Both of these draft events will actually be held virtually. So follow along where you can, when you can. And of course, we at Attacking Third will be available with previews, with guests on, our various insiders with their perspectives on what's going to happen with the expansion draft and the NWSL draft. And we will also have live recaps and post-draft coverage for you all. We are very, very excited for next week. Indeed, I want to thank you all for listening. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Attacking Third. And don't forget to vote for your Attacking Third Awards. Find the polls on Twitter at Attacking Third. You can tune in to Friday's episode where we will reveal the winners. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you listen to your podcast shows. If you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts with a question, we will answer it during our mailbag segment. And we're also available as video. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Visit youtube.com/attackingthird. And we will be back Friday with the results of the A3 2021 NWSL Awards. For Sandra Herrera and Lisa Roman, this was Attacking Third.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.